Kwandu
on 702.
17 minutes after 10 o'clock, my good friend Mbuso Khoza, award-winning artist and heritage consultant, joins me now. Nkatini. Mbuso Khoza, are you there?
Baba.
How are you, my brother?
I am very good, sir, and you?
I can't complain, especially as we think about these very important things on such an important day. Interested to find out what you are up to. I believe that there are certain things, certain developments. I've been watching your developments overseas. You were in Germany not too long ago. People were learning about the Battle of Isandlwana in Berlin.
Yeah.
Oh, beautiful stuff. But I know that you are involved in more important things even here in South Africa. What can we expect from Mbuso Khoza?
You know, in 1879, when they were going back after the battle, the rich man said, "Oh, when I went, but if it's but and it's open, but 1976,
how far are we with the decolonization of mind as an African? Sanbona balaleli be 702. Baba uMasango.
Mkatini, the question that I'm going to be asking after my conversation with you is really precisely about that. As to how do we understand the events of our past, particularly the tragic, but not limited to the tragic ones, whether it's the Battle of Isandlwana, whether it is the 1976 uprisings, whether it is the November 21 Mamelodi massacre. I mean, there's so many. Bupatong, whatever the case may be. My question to the listeners is, how do we, and what relationship do we have with these events in our own minds? Do we continue to speak to those issues and about those issues as victims? Or do we become the victors in that situation so that the very thought, the very idea of pricking my arm again with a needle is a painful one? The very thought of it. Not the very contemplation of pricking my arm again is a painful one.
Yeah.
And that requires a process. It requires a decolonization of the mind, as you say. And so I know that you are involved in the process of trying to help our minds get decolonized with the work that you do. How do we do it? How do we do it, Mbuso?
I love the statement you made earlier about the interpretation of the past events. Because for me, if you are suffering from a particular pain, the only reason for you to give the pain attention is to understand the laws that govern the pain so that you are able to deal with it. Maybe at some point, there are aspects that will inspire you to become a better being instead of articulating each and everything with a particular emotion. You know, when we look at June 16 and we view it with bodies lying down, we will never get over it. Each time if we commemorate this day, all the thing we think about is how, you know, powerless we were on that day. For me, I would say, let us look at June 16 as this big wound. This is Kakabulula is in where this is London, and face the ghost and say, what were our shortcomings as black people? so that we embetter ourselves. But if we continue to look at a white person as a superior and as someone who's continuously inflicting pain on us, maybe we are the cause of this effect that we are seeing.
Yeah. There's a young man by the name of Kanye West. I believe he's also a billionaire. A few years ago, he made some interesting statements. There was all-round anger.
Yes.
People were very, very angry at the statement that he made. They called it insensitive. And it sounded very much... you are a more polite individual, Mbuso. So you say it with much more grace and much more sensitivity, but it sounds to me like it was a similar statement. This is what he had to say. He said something to the effect that if you are victimized once and you are victimized twice, and you continue along the trajectory of being a victim, at some point you need to entertain the possibility that you are no longer a victim, but choosing to be a victim. Would you agree?
Precisely, yes. Because when you look at our political system, I think it should go back to on the basis of intellectuality on how one analyzes policy and how service delivery should go to the people versus a current leader, counter. In a versus saying, ladies and gentlemen, we have this background, poor background, so if you choose us again, we are part of you. For me, that's a poor me mentality. And we will never grow if we look at things like that, because for me, if you are able to predict your future, it's your doing. There's no complexity and infinity of who you are.
But... it would obviously require a specific mentality, a mentality that is underpinned by the fundamental belief that as much as I was a victim at a certain point, I am capable of becoming a victor in a particular scenario. How do we inject into our own consciousness a people that were victimized, legitimately so? No, not legitimate. The victimization wasn't legitimate. I'm saying that the feeling of victimization was a legitimate one because there was real victimization. How do we get ourselves to start understanding ourselves as those who don't have to stay victims?
They say in the battlefield, part of the game is to keep forgetting about those past events that keep eating away of you, so that you are able to, see things for what they are, not what your emotions are claiming them to be. So I think that's where we are stuck now. I'll give you an example. When we talk about rationality, I've seen some of our brothers, when you do something very wrong in a work environment and the white person tries to reprimand you, a possible weapon is to say, your days of your forefathers are long gone. You can't talk to me like that. But now we are failing to see who is wrong in this situation, whether is it a black person or not. So all I'm saying is, what happened to us and what keeps happening to us as a black nation is masochism. However, how we respond to this situation is our fault. Because if we allow emotions to govern our thinking, we will never get anywhere. It's more like when you want to get successful and you keep talking about your enemies. You know, my enemies, blah, 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 but I'm successful now. You're not successful. We are still on a journey on trying to prove yourself to people who doesn't care about you. So all I'm saying here, our youth need to be engaged in the issues of culture and heritage. But with the view to the future, not to say our culture is like this, so this is how things should be done. No, we should be saying culture and heritage and history is helping you to have these two eyes. The other eye keeps glancing on the past, taking those lessons from those who came before us, but the other eye is focusing on the future. So now we're having a balance instead of every year we are complaining about one and the same thing.
Somebody may argue that, or let me put it rather this way.
Yes.
We, in many ways, have celebritized.
Yes.
We have celebrated our tragic events.
Yeah.
And in fact, it's become profitable. If I want to make a movie that is going to attract people, I'm going to make it about, I don't know, something that is sad that happened. Something sad, something. So our victimhood and tragic past can be profitable for those that know how to articulate it in specific ways. In fact, if we go a little bit deeper, Mbuso, many of the NGOs that come from our continent, which go to the global north, have become stinking rich on the basis of being able to articulate the suffering of the people of this country to get money either through the guilt tripping of the global north or to get genuine assistance from those who feel our pain. I'm suggesting to you that perhaps part of the reason why the way we interpret our past events, particularly the tragic ones, is because it is profitable, particularly for those who know our story and are able to articulate it in such a way that it extracts or it unlocks funding.
An art of seducing money.
Why would we want to leave this lucrative business? Because on one hand, if I have the ability to articulate this pain, I get sympathy from those that have felt the pain. The masses, they say, yes, he's speaking our experience. Yes, go and tell them. But I don't tell the masses how I have profited from their pain. And so I continue to receive checks from Foundation X in Sweden, Organization X in Germany, Organization B in America. I continue, and then they see me driving in these wonderful cars, and then I say, look at God.
Can I give you a practical scenario? With regards to how we understand who we are and where we come from, where we've been, what we've been through, and where we are. And I'll give you an example with someone who goes to church. Someone who's been through a lot, who's unemployed, who's sick, is going to church. And now, what is on his or her mind is that I need to be healed and I need
to get money so that I can feed myself.
I need deliverance from poverty.
So now, for me, there is no understanding about even a basic inseparability between him and his creator and the power within himself. Let me go further. If this, planet is maybe consisted of subatoms, atoms, molecules, up to energy being God, and you as a human being, you are part of that, you can even speak to nature and it does what you want. If you understand, you know,
how the principles, yeah,
in infinity you are.
Yeah.
So all I'm saying is that going back to who we are, we look at people trying to demonstrate practicing their culture, burning impepo, burning trees, they don't even understand the properties, you know, the symbols. Going further, we're busy promoting umsamo. What is the metaphysic of your culture as an African?
Yeah.
When you talk about umsamo,
yeah, I was speaking, incidentally, Mbuso, before you continue.
Yes.
I was speaking to a brand that sells utshwala.
Yes.
That is promoting an Ancestors' Day. I still want to have a conversation about that with you.
One day.
About the implications of that. I've spoken to many wise people who are for and against that issue, but there's a brand that is pushing the idea, and my sense is that on the face of it, yes, it's nice.
Mm.
But perhaps it might have certain unintended consequences. The branding of a so-called Ancestors' Day. But you were saying, Mbuso, continue, my brother, you were saying something.
I'm saying, as an African, do you need to ask yourself two questions. If I'm saying I have a culture, what is the metaphysic of my culture when I talk about umsamo? The only place that you visit with your matches and your
the altar in the house,
you call it whatever altar, you know, for me now that it becomes a cult, because you can't go to a place where you expect to meet certain people to do what you hope for your selfish reasons. You know, now let me analyze what is umsamo. Oh, in the olden days, in a hut, in a traditional hut, the fireplace where food is being prepared.
Yes.
But when the food is ready, ibekwa emsamo, so that when it's time for dishes, you know, dishes will come closer. So now, that's a metaphysic of your culture that is associated with kindness, giving, feast, togetherness with your family. You know, so now, when you remember or you want to commemorate one of your ancestors, so that's what constitutes the metaphysic of your culture. Not just go there with your selfish reasons, hoping to get blessings against your brothers and family. You know, the thing is twisted now, because if I may explain the relationship between a human being and God and an ancestor. If God is an energy and ancestors are energy after leaving a body, it means each time you communicate with them or you want blessings, they respond according to who you are. This is why we are starting today, because we go to church for selfish reasons. Even when you go for meditation, you look at people taking a video and playing music. So now you are concerned about looking calm.
That's why these guys come here and then they start big churches and they take your money away.
Exactly. So I'm saying, Africans, let us change the way we think. Yeah. I've been, you know, when I'm saying let us engage the youth in this, because the number of izangoma is really increasing. But I'm asking myself, do we understand a difference between what is happening to us and what
we are doing, in what environment, inspired by what?
Yeah, everybody's a gawker these days. Eh?
You know, so now I'm asking myself, because each and every journey that you are taking in your life, you need to cause an effect. If you are a clerk and you capture everything in a meeting, you have caused an effect in your field.
So, when I'm cutting, these things are big things, man. So you are saying to me, if I understand you correctly, that we need to be careful not to try and fashion ourselves according to mainstream religions who have days and temples and places and so forth.
Yay.
Because it appears to me that that is the underlying aspiration. That we too must have our Christmas.
Exactly.
We too must have our cathedral.
Exactly.
And soon we too will have our savior. Huh?
And then this one will be looted.
And then we will be religion.
And therefore, no one needs a Messiah in this life, my brother. If God is a creative spirit of the universe who individualizes himself as to me and you, and you become him, it means you have everything that it takes for you to do anything that you want. So it means if God is not playing his part, the devil will.
Oh, Mbuso Kosi, I'm Kati. Very controversial individual, this one. Hey, man. Mbuso, are you there? Mbuso. Oh, I've lost Mkati. That perhaps is our cue as I open up the lines on 011-883-0702. What do you make of that conversation thus far? How do we go back and understand June 16? Listen to my question. How do we understand June 16 for our benefit? Because we can continue to understand June 16 and perpetuate our pain. But how do we take control of the matter? So that it isn't just about how pain was inflicted upon us, but rather about how do we rise out of that pain. Now, it's going to take some audacious work. But there are peoples that have gone through some very, very difficult moments in their collective histories, who have sworn that never, never, never again, yeah, will the infliction of pain happen to them again. And I get concerned sometimes. I get concerned sometimes that we get into a mode of remembering our pain, but in a way that debilitates us rather than inspires us. And so I'd like to take your calls now as to how do we take events collectively that have been tragic and spin them, create an energy that catapults us into a new reality rather than one that continues to remind us of our weakness. How do we do that? How do we inspire ourselves to become the people that will never be pricked again? Even by ourselves. because maybe at some point we need to acknowledge that some of the infliction of pain is done by ourselves, by the thoughts, by the memories, and the conversations we entertain about ourselves. Give me a call. I'd love to hear from you. Buso Khoza is my guest, award-winning artist and heritage consultant. I want to take a couple of calls and then hear what Mbuso, he's back. Nari is in Blegauri. Hi, Nari.
Hi, how's it?
Very good. Very good. Thanks.
Nari. Okay, cool. Now, I think the problem starts from inside. You know, the leaders that we look at is people who build their careers around playing games. You understand?
Yeah.
That is why myself, I believe that the people we should look at is the people like some motivational speakers, people like church people. I'm talking about real church people that will tell you that your fight in this world is not against flesh and blood. You understand? The fight is against evil spirits. It's against things that are invisible. But most, I think, politicians, they spin everything around. Even this day, today, they have spinned it. All politicians, when you look at them, there's that anger as well. They tell people, I mean, some things that makes them to be more and more angry instead of encouraging people that look deep down inside of yourself. You got that power. You can be anything you want instead of focusing on your failures, on your weakness. You understand? The focus should be inside of you, ourselves as human beings.
Yeah, yeah. Nare, and perhaps we need to ask ourselves the question, who stands to benefit from us continuing to speak of ourselves in these ways? Yeah?
It's politicians, because politics, when you look at politics, politics is an ideology, and ideology is based, is a belief. Politics are not fact most of the time. Is that belief? Someone believes in something, it doesn't mean that is a fact.
Nare in Blegauri, let me stop you there. Charles is in Fort Lauderdale. Hi, Charles.
How are you, Aubrey?
I'm good, my brother. How are you?
Fine, thank you. You know, I think our leaders are the ones who are keeping us where we are. If really the youth of 76, I was born 76, I don't know about it. But if the youth of 76 really won the fight, so it would be like something. During load shedding, each and every time, 702, they were in the morning, there was no day where Soweto didn't have load shedding. And now you talk of crime, you talk of load shedding, shacks. It's in Soweto. So what is it that the youth benefited? Only Africans. And I did Africans until matric. So I don't think they really won. And because of the system, our leaders.
Well, I can tell you now, Charles, I don't live in Soweto and I get lots of load shedding. So
that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
If really the youth of 76 really won that war, so it would be like something, ruining you.
So what? Here's the question. Let's take it away from the leaders, because we already know that we have issues with leaders. Who do we need to become in order for us to be able to create a Soweto that is like Sandton? And it's said that our aspiration is Sandton, but that's okay. Who do we need to be in order for us to be able to be our best selves? How do we need to do that?
We need not to be afraid to tackle our problems head on. I remember in the 89, I was born in Soweto, 89, there was this thing that obtained Joburg.
Yeah, the consumer boycott.
And our elders, I was young, but our elders went and bought the goods from
from Joburg.
From
Johannesburg.
Yeah.
We used to stand at the bus stops and taxi stops. We used to stand there. And we tear up. I remember one woman was made to drink fish oil.
I remember that.
Because we were pushing for people not to do that. So each and every generation, we will have those people who are not or don't want us to prosper. So you have to push. But our push didn't bear us a fruit. I'm now in Vosloorus. I'm not living in Soweto anymore. Because Soweto is going down, my man. And what's the difference between Marikana and so and being 16? The same. They were fighting for Africans. They didn't get it. And we celebrating as if...
I can tell you right now that Afrikaans is still taught as a mandatory language today.
But listen to me, my man. Yeah. I'm saying... They didn't get it, but the way it's been celebrated, it will turn in our mind as if they got it. I'm saying I was born in 76 and I did Afrikaans until matric. I understand the way Afrikaans was doing is the same as English, because everything we're doing in English.
So Charles, I hear you, my brother. Let me stop you there. Mohai le mohashwa. Oh, Wikipedia, my brother. Hey, man, it's so good to have you.
Hi, Aubrey.
Are you well?
I'm well. How are you, brother?
Very good, very good. Your thoughts, man? We're having some interesting conversation, Charles, talking about Afrikaans, English, and so forth. I see you've also been raising some similar points and questions.
You know, Aubrey, here's a question. You know, one of the things I do, I'm an engineer by profession,
yes,
right?
Yes.
And I'm trained to support solutions, and you need to understand the difference between a pacifier and a solution.
Yeah.
Here's a question.
Pacifier, dummy, and that is sucked by babies. Yeah, dummy. he thinks he's suckling from his mother's breast, because he's suckling from a plastic thing from Macro. Eh?
When we took arms and threw Afrikaans out, why did we replace it with English if freedom was really what we were after?
Oh, my word. Yeah.
You need to think about it critically. You will see that it has been a pacifier. You know, there's a report that I read that was written by Dr. Mampela Rampela about the woundedness that we carry with us from this generation to the next. Because the problems that we have don't get dealt with. We just get given a pacifier.
I want to challenge that slightly, Mohail. I hear the sentiment and I agree with it. But at some point, we need to say, I'm not going to accept the pacifier, isn't it? Because we do get given a pacifier, but then at the end of the day, we suck the pacifier.
The gentleman just spoke before me now, put it spot on. We must confront the problems that we have.
All right, let me confront a quick one with you right now. Then I'm going to go back to my guest. Ne?
Yeah.
I've already said it. I have no beef with Afrikaans. I speak Afrikaans. Proudly so. I have got no beef with it because I understand the history of the politicization and the weaponization of Afrikaans by a particular nationalistic group in this country. I understand it. I understand how Afrikaans developed. I understand that it wasn't created by them. It was created by slaves, Afrikaans. Yes. I know that and I've studied it, I've followed it, and I now understand it. So I speak Afrikaans with absolute pride. In fact, I'm one of the few people that is arguing that maybe we need to have a real conversation about whether or not Afrikaans is an indigenous language or not. But I don't want to get into that. Not yet. I don't want to get into that. I am always confused by how activists will fight for English against Afrikaans. And then I hear nothing about How do we lift up the languages of this continent? Let's take, for example, in KwaZulu-Natal.
Yeah.
Why are we not fighting for isiZulu to become mm-hmm. the language of science and philosophy in the Free State, not OFA, and get into trouble. The Free State,
say Sesotho.
Yeah, Sesotho. Why are we not seeing isiXhosa, for example, in Cape Town being fought for? I watch asiXhantsimitha fighting for English. I watch this and then I say to myself, Matot, kanti kwenzekaleni? What happened to us?
It proves, Aubrey, that it is sponsored agendas. It is, we are like a rented crowd. The men with money.
Yes.
The men with money decides the agenda. And he brings the 10 buses. We get into the buses and then he tells us what songs we're going to sing.
Streetwise 2 plus a t-shirt.
I'll leave it there, bro. But
the founder of Darkipedia. Wake up, Dark. Wake up. What's going on here? What's going on here? I was saddened, Mbuso Khoza, as you tell us about your thoughts about that conversation we've just had now with some of the listeners. I was saddened to see how mothers, senior, dignified women were being dragged by the hair. Some of what we saw were the underwear of umama. You understand what I'm trying to say? I know you understand what the implications of that is. In our culture, being dragged by the hair, being kicked. In a platform that is supposed to be about debate. Because we are supposed to be angry about something. It's about something. No problem with anger. But we have sold ourselves to Streetwise 2 and a t-shirt. Says Mukhaile Mukhash. Talk to me as we close, and I'd like to know what's happening on Sunday.
Yes, on Sunday, the 19th of this month, June, I'm at State Theatre presenting a youth and heritage concert. So, as usual, I always research new music from Amahubo to the songs of the struggle, juxtaposing history, like war cries and the slogans, and also the importance of the youth to be involved more in the issues of culture and heritage, because if they want to move this country further, they need to study their history.
Yeah.
So tickets are available at State Theatre or via web ticket this coming Sunday at 7 p.m. I'll be performing with a six-piece band. The walls are going to be falling this coming weekend.
As we close, your final words as we reflect on how do we look at ourselves in relation to our past and the events of our past, particularly the tragic ones.
I think we need to really change the way we think. When I look at June 16, I would say my advice to fellow Black South Africans, because we've become this ever-celebrating nation and we're getting nowhere. I would say, let us take, when a blessing comes, take it as a curse. And when a curse comes, take it as a blessing.
Mbuso Khoza, as always, my brother, thank you very much for always gracing us and helping us deal with some of these difficult issues. I really appreciate it. Much appreciated. And just give me that event again. When is it happening?
It's happening on Sunday at State Theatre in Tshwane. at 7 p.m. Tickets are still available at WebTicket, or they can go straight to State Theatre. And by the way, yesterday I received two awards from South Africa Language Board for the promotion of indigenous knowledge and language.
Mamela Mbuso, there are more coming your way, my brother. Just wanted
thank
to.
Thank you so much.
There are more coming your way. And thank you for the work that you do. Keep going. Keep keeping on. Much appreciated. Mbuso Khoza, award-winning artist and heritage consultant. Always a great conversation with Mbuso Khoza. Yeah, sure, you know.